I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help!
Welcome everybody to You Get the Blessing.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
I never
needed anybody's help in any way.
Wake up, folks.
But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Everybody needs help.
Now I find a change of mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being right.
All right, good way to start the morning. Thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. Today, my partner is Mark Klibbe. We're going to do what we call a Tips from the Team. Welcome, Mark.
Good morning, Bo.
Every once in a while, we don't have a guest, and our home team just picks a topic, and we discuss it, hoping to inspire, maybe instruct, uplift you listeners. So stay tuned today as Mark and I go through a variety of things, mostly relating to how to live a championship day for God through Christ every single day.
Because we got it down pat, right?
Because we are working on it. Exactly. So our goal should be the same, but I just have been thinking about championships lately, Mark, because three or four weeks ago, Thomas Jefferson High School did an amazing thing in honoring 10 of us from the class of 1967 who were athletes and won a number of championships, two in baseball, one in basketball, one in golf, almost one in football, but 14 athletes from that group got Division I scholarships. When you win a championship, like whatever sport, usually there's a dog pile where you're in a big group and jumping up and down or diving on each other. And TJ put 10 of us from that class in the Hall of Fame, and I called my friend Irv Brown and asked if he'd give a quote about that class because it was such a good class. And he said, yeah, I'll give you a quote. The best group of high school athletes ever assembled in Colorado history was the 1967 TJ Spartans. So, Irv, would you like to soften that a little by saying possibly? He said, no, it's true. You guys were good, and you did it on the field. You delivered the championships. And I guess one of my favorite parts was they also put in our coach, Gaston Sandy, who was our basketball coach, passed away a few years ago. But it was just a good night for all of us, and it did start me thinking about what does it look like day in and day out in our walk with Christ to have a dog pile at the end of every day celebrating we've done this right, we did it well. Because I can remember at TJ especially, it was complicated beating Manuel, who was phenomenal in basketball. So you know what I'm talking about on championships and the dog piles. You've seen it on TV.
Right, you bet. And I was thrilled to just hear about the stories of that group. What an amazing group it was.
And you were good to come be my guest.
Well, I was blessed to be your guest. But it was a great group that rose up and as a team, as a bunch of great individuals, they became a team that was unbeatable.
So let me have you tell the listener, so I have to repeat it. Another thing that got me thinking about this is recently I celebrated the 59th anniversary of a very special championship. We were kind of on, our family was on the wrong side of this one, but tell everybody what happened.
Well, your dad, who was a great ball player back in the 40s and 50s, was put into a situation with the Brooklyn Dodgers against the New York Yankees in Game 5 of the World Series back in 1956. And he was the last batter to go up against Don Larson and in the perfect game that he pitched that day, which is, you know, just unbelievable thing that he did there. And your dad was the last one to be at bat and ended up striking out, which was not like what your dad was known for.
No, he didn't strike out very often.
No, he was a great ball player.
So what's interesting about what Mark's sharing there is I was 7 years old sitting in the stands that day with my mother, and she said to me when they announced my dad coming up to pinch hit for Sal Magley, and the crowd obviously on their feet going crazy, in fact, the whole country going crazy that this Yankee pitcher was in the process of pitching the only perfect game in World Series history. My mother said to me, son, keep your mouth shut. If your dad gets a hit right now, these Yankee fans might kill us. And I can remember thinking, well, I thought we were just kind of here at a ball game, and this took on a rather significant meaning when my mom all of a sudden said I could be killed. Now, she was partially kidding and partially serious because of the intensity of the moment. In fact, years later, read a quote from Vin Scully that said, possibly no Major League Baseball player in history has come to bat in more of a pressure situation than is facing Dale Mitchell right now as he steps to the plate. So, yeah, it was tense. My dad struck out. We lost the game. I've been in therapy ever since trying to get over the trauma that set in because of my dad's strikeout. Just kidding. Anyway, my dad turned to argue with the ump because he thought the called third strike was a ball, but the ump was gone. Yogi Bear ran out and jumped into Don Larson's arms. And I guess I'm bringing that up today to say much, much more important than that game. As Jack Nicklaus used to say at the end of every tournament, when all's said and done, it really is just a game. But he played golf well. My dad played baseball well, but much more important than that, we're hoping that we're living our lives well. This is your championship season right now. You're not waiting month, year, 6 years, 10 years from now to engage in the Super Bowl. This is your Super Bowl. So when we closed out our chapel this year with the Rockies, I said to our players in the last chapel, I want you to leave out of here for the off season with something that we should be living every day, because the relationship with Christ we can have is to be improved upon and lived out every day with a focus on at least these three things. So Mark and I want to share some scripture from what we think brings about championship days day in and day out for your life. So as you listen to us talk about dog piles and championships and TJ and the Yankees and the Rockies, I guess I'm saying I'm most interested in being a good man, being God's man, serving him day in and day out and living the way we're supposed to. So that's what we're going to focus on today, Mark. Does that sound good to you?
Yep, you bet. We're up to bat every day, and we're on a winning team, and it should be exciting, and there's things that we can do to prepare ourselves for doing the best that we can do.
So my friend Steve Foster, our pitching coach with the Rockies, brought this to our attention in one of our chapel services. Each of us has 86,400 seconds in each day, and if we don't use that time wisely, it's lost. It's not like you bank your time and you can add it to what time you might have tomorrow. It's gone forever. So some people tell themselves maybe they'll work twice as hard tomorrow to make up for what they didn't do today. That's not how it works. So every morning, let's say your bank account is credited with $86,400, but every evening that's canceled out, and whatever part of the money you fail to use, you lose. Well, that's how it is with time. So we're encouraging you today to listen to our tips from the team and just hear us simply say, here are some things we know you can concentrate on and be a better person. So let's start with number one, which is, where do you go for your life-changing information or truth? And that needs to be the Bible. God left behind for us his message in a love letter written to you personally, you listeners. For those of you who don't know Christ, it's the Word of God. For those of you who do know Christ, it's a Word of God written directly to you. So we open it like a love letter. And why is the Bible important, Mark?
Well, it gives us good direction. I recently read that it is the guidelines to our faith and our everyday walk in this world. It lets us know that, it's the promise that has the power to make promises come true is what I was trying to get at there.
Yeah, and the scripture that points us that direction in Psalm 119 says the Bible can be what?
It's a lamp to my feet and the light to my path, which is an exciting way to look at it, that, you know, God is giving you, you know, lighting your way and, you know, telling you how to go forward.
So you feel lost today, maybe a little discouraged, maybe confused, maybe lacking hope for the future, maybe you're under financial pressure, maybe you got a call from your doctor this week and there's physical ailments attacking you that scare you, or maybe you're just lonely and need some friends. The Holy Bible can be the answer to every question you have, a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. It stands forever. It's timeless. It's encouraging. You can trust it. And yet, too frequently, we never crack our Bibles to even see what it says. Oftentimes, I'll say to businessmen, you're rejecting something I would guess you don't even know about. And they'll say, you're right. I haven't read 1% of what the Bible says. So choosing from that option is really not a choice at all. And I guess Mark and I are saying every day should include, just like it includes doing your best when you get dressed and doing your best to hopefully eat a meal or two every day to keep yourself nourished, it should include reading scripture. What are some other reasons, Mark, that we should be reading the Bible every day?
Well, it's just great encouragement to us that, you know, that we're not alone in this walk through this world, and that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped with every good work.
That's a good word.
That's from Timothy.
I thought you just were making that up as you were rolling.
I wish I could do that. No, I rely on scripture to be the truth. If I start making up things myself, I'm definitely in the wrong spot there.
Me too.
But, you know, when I get into the Bible myself every morning, the one thing that, you know, going back to what you said just a minute ago, is I love to just, you know, say, Lord, meet me in your word. Because, you know, the word is, you know, meant just for us. And if you put it that way, it's not necessarily for God's benefit. You're saying, meet me in your word. He's there. But it puts you in a mindset to saying, okay, what has this got for me today? And what mindset can I go into reading the scriptures?
You're listening to Mark Klibbe there, my partner and co-host today on You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. We're taking a break from our regular format of interviewing guests, and we're doing what we call tips from the team. And the tip today is about how to live a championship life day in and day out for Christ. And what are the disciplines that you need to carry into each day in order to do that? So I've heard Bob Belts, our regular co-host on the show, say that our thoughts lead to actions. Our actions, as they are repeated, form habits. Our habits, as they stack up one on top of each other, shape our character, and our character determines our destiny. So the thought we're trying to put in your mind here today is, don't be afraid of the Bible. It's your friend. It's one of a kind. It's alive. It's for your benefit. And crack that Bible every day. Don't be someone that falls into the habit of thinking, well, I read that once, I don't need to go back to it, or it's too complicated. I'm not going to read it. Mark and I are blessed to be in a relationship with Bob Belts, who's one of the great Bible teachers we've ever met. So we'd say if you don't even know how to get started in reading your Bible, you may want to go to Highline Community Church today. It's just north of Shepler's on I-25 and Orchard, just on the east side of the highway there. Services start at 10:30, and Bob will be teaching. But the Bible also is important because it tells us why Jesus came to earth. Mm-hmm. It shows us why he died on the cross. It explains the resurrection of Christ. It tells us where Christ is now. It tells us where God the Father is now, how those two work and interact with the Holy Spirit to benefit us. It really is an explanation of all kinds of things that we need to learn about. So, number one, we're saying day in, day out to get right in the middle of that dog pile and celebrate a championship every day, read the Bible. Number two, why don't you start by introducing number two, Mark?
The importance of prayer. And this is, in my walk, is right in line with the reading the Bible, because I'm usually into the reading the Bible and then go right into prayer, which, just communication with God. I came to Christ only about 11 years ago now, and I remember asking somebody that meant a lot to me at that point. I go, "Hey, what do you do to pray?" And they say, "Hey, it's a conversation with God." And why wouldn't you want to do that, especially if you want a relationship and know who he is? So, and Joe, so just the prayer is such an integral part of that. It's one of my favorites is the Philippians. In Philippians, book of Philippians 4:6-8, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And that's what prayer takes you. And
put you in that mindset of he's God, I'm not. So We also teach ACTS, A-C-T-S, as a little guideline you can use in your prayer life. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication, meaning supply our needs. Unfortunately, too often we fall into the habit of only going straight to S, supply our needs. God, I need this. I need this. My wife needs this. Our family needs this. And by the way, I could use a new one of these. The order of Acts, if you're looking for a prayer guide, A, adoration, means you position yourself before God by saying, "I adore you. I worship you. I lift my voice to you. I know you know, God, what's on my heart and mind before I can even say it or pray it. But I'm acknowledging that you're in charge. You're God, not me." So that's the adoration part. C, confession, might be for you, "I don't even know what to confess. I don't know where I've missed the mark and where I've sinned, but I would ask you to reveal it to me through the power of your Spirit." T is thanksgiving, and I know in my life I can spend my whole prayer time on thanksgiving. I have 3 heart stents, so I have congenital heart disease, and I'm thankful for health. Lord, thank you that I can see and breathe and hear and speak, even though that, in some people's opinion, would be a blessing for them if I couldn't. Thanksgiving can go on and on and on for my marriage, for my home, for my friends, for you, on and on. I hope you feel that spirit of thanksgiving. All those, adoration, confession, Thanksgiving, ACT, before we ever get to the list of, hey, God, here are my needs and wants. Can you meet me halfway on some of these? Because I got to get some of this stuff I'm after.
Well, that's what our friend Bob Belts wrote a book on how to be a man of prayer. And he actually broke it down into the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus' disciples asked him to explain, how do I pray? He gave us a great example that breaks it down in those dimensions of what your prayer should be. It's a great example that Bob used there.
I would also say nowhere in the Bible does it instruct you how to sit or close your eyes or fold your hands, does it?
No.
So when my daughter-in-law Dana joined our family and we'd be on a walk and we would all just, you know, take turns praying, she was like, I've never known a group of folks to pray with their eyes open as much as you all. And we said, well, it's better to walk with your eyes open, better to drive with your eyes open. But so your method of prayer sort of doesn't matter. I mean, just do what feels right to you in reverence to God. I'm not saying you have to go sit in a chair for 30 minutes a day. In fact, Pastor Jim Dixon from Cherry Hills Community Church told me he probably prayed an hour a day, I believe he said, and never was it more than 5 minutes at a stretch, but it was all throughout the day. So yeah. The scripture you read earlier about pray without ceasing, I think we're in a mindset of prayer all day that gets us in touch with God. How about number three? So we got read the Bible, pray, and the third equally important component every day is?
To live in Christian community, to be able to, you know, Christianity isn't a passive thing. It's an active thing that you have to be in the body of Christ. And you're going to be part of that body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is a metaphor for the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:27 is put, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. So we're part of, you know, of a community, and being part of that community, we can find strength. Another thing that I've read is that, you know, none of us have all the truth, but between us, we can get closer to the whole truth.
Yeah, so what Mark's saying there is this is a team effort, and you need to touch base with your teammates every day. That's why we have church. So again, if you don't have a body of believers that you're a part of, you may be going to the TV set or your internet or neighbors that may or may not know Christ or somewhere that's not pointing you to Christ for your life-changing knowledge, and that's not healthy. It's not going to help you grow into the man or woman God meant you to be. So community means a group of believers that are together, and I know I have a handful, including you, Mark, that I touch base with every day. I can trust that you're going to act, think, speak truth to me and encourage me in my own faith. It's not that we spend 100% of the time we're together talking about spiritual things, but it is that 100% of the time we're together, we're acting, being, living out our faith in Christ. So having partners who are of the same belief as you are and being with them on a consistent basis is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I remember when I first came to Christ myself and invited him into my life, the realization, the second best thing is to know that you have this wonderful connection with this community that is just there, and it happens at the same time as you accept Christ and ask him into your life. And it's loving people that care for you, like you said, and are there to encourage you and walk with you.
So as we wrap things up, let me just say, you know, it was exciting for me to send the Rockies ball players into the offseason with this instruction. Day in, day out, without missing an opportunity, read scripture, be in prayer, be in community with other Christians, and watch the championship feeling you're going to have day in and day out, that you're living the most fulfilled, positive life available to us. And that's a life in constant connection with the author and the creator of life, God himself, Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that should ever take our eye off of the fact that daily we can be growing in scripture reading, prayer, and community with other Christians. Agree, Mark?
You bet. In fact, we are, you know, with that community, we can, you know, grow and well, the one that I like a lot is let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So as Mark just said there, we encourage you to build these habits into your life and know that the championship season is on you every day, day in and day out. Thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing Today. Our prayer is you'd read scripture, you'd pray yourself, and you'd get with other Christians on this journey. We love you all. We'll see you again next week right here.
Take care. Sure, now I find a gentleman, I'll open up the door.